Hello, the instance. This is Ao the Great of the Silver Moon server here. According to my iPhone app, apparently today is Scott Johnson's birthday. Happy birthday, Scott Johnson. If it is not, then please disregard this whole message.
This is the World of Warcraft podcast, so you don't have to. You're listening to The Instance.
This episode of The Instance is brought to you in part by GoDaddy.com, Typefrag.com, and DoghouseSystems.com. Check out their new Prism series of high-powered gaming rigs. Additional support comes to this episode from 7Reach Media, affiliate network for gamers. The Dad Show Podcast, three guys talking about the fun and challenges of being a dad. Spirithriel, a tree of AIE, would like to wish congratulations to the Kill of Arthas and farewell to the Drunk with Power raid team. The King and Peasants Guild on the Carney server. This is for you, Juwenta. Our thoughts are with you. Stay strong and return soon. The Pie Beast Ninjas of Doom on the Bloodscalp US realm. Keep working on the LK, guys. You'll get there in the end. From Madam Stab. The Guardian Tank Podcast, your information location for tanking in the World of Warcraft. Scott Sherman. iPone Case, that's IPWNCASE.com. Home of the iPone. Hard shell Game Boy case for iPhone. BrutalGamer.com, brutally honest video game reviews, news, opinions, and podcasts. Samantha Asadassi, Shogun 01, and Matt Jeans. This episode is for you. Hey everybody, welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance, episode 197 for Monday, July 26th, 2010. Feels like we may have done this before, and that's the last I'm going to talk about it. That's all I'm going to say right here at the top of the show. That is all Scott is going to mention about any other recording that may or may not have been totally destroyed or missing, and why we're recording on Monday. That's it. That's all I'm going to say. I'm Scott Johnson, joined by Mr. Randy Jordan, a.k.a. Randy Deluxe. Welcome, Randy.
Thank you, Scott. I'm doing fantastic, and I appreciate your concern on that point. It is a beautiful morning. It's 5:45 a.m.
Yep.
Here in on the island of Oahu, where the sun is just peeking up over the ridge right now. Oh my gosh, what a sunrise I've got here! I will happily admit that you and I have recorded this show together before.
Yes.
And we thought to ourselves, this is so good, we want to do it again. So 12 hours later, we're doing it again, and it's going to be even better.
All right. I'm confident in what you are telling me is true. So we will do our best. And we have a ton to talk about. Today's a very special day. And if anything, it's nice to be doing this again, because today is very special. Technically tomorrow, but still sort of today. All right, let's get to it.
Big news of the week.
Big news.
Big news of the week this week. It's a whole new other game. It's a whole other game. All the World of Warcraft, as well as the entire video gaming universe, is a buzz today because StarCraft II hits retail stores late tonight. That's midnight tonight. If that doesn't mean anything to you, well, get on board, because StarCraft II represents the most impressive impact, or you could argue other games could do this in the future, but the most impressive impact on WoW that any game has probably ever had. And will we see you zerging your Terran enemies? We hope so. Let's talk about this. This is a big deal.
I hope you see me zerging my Protoss enemies. I hope you see me zerging my Zerg enemies.
We've never talked about this. What do you lean toward race-wise?
It's really all I've got is Zerg. I don't know. I kind of, in the beta, that's pretty much the only side I played.
Oh, all right.
So I feel like I am a complete noob in StarCraft II on anything but Zerg.
Interesting. When I the first game, I started with Terran like everyone often does, and you kind of get your feet wet, and it's the most recognizable stuff. It's like, oh, those are turrets, and those are Marines, and those are things I can relate to. And then I kind of branch out and went Protoss, and I was like, all right, well, they're still kind of ground soldiers, and they do weird things with the way they build stuff, and everything's more expensive. And then the Zerg was like, whoa, what in the hell is this? What are we doing here? And it was a much different way of playing an RTS, and I ended up loving the Zerg to the point that they became my race for much of the lifespan of StarCraft 2 or StarCraft 1, which is still happening, by the way. That lifespan hasn't ended.
Yeah, that's kind of funny. I wonder what the final decline of StarCraft 1 will be. You know, will there be a punch out where suddenly the game that's been played regularly by like 2 million people for years will just dive off a cliff and no one will play it anymore? I'd like to know. I wonder if there's a way to track that.
Well, there's an Asian factor in that a little bit. I think it just depends on how quickly the game dies out as a tournament event style game in Asia and specifically in South Korea. If those people start moving towards StarCraft II in huge numbers and they don't retain the other game for any other reason, then it seems like that might be the key to having it sort of go away. But the fact that I can walk into Walmart right now, the launch day of StarCraft II, and buy StarCraft I Battle Chest is crazy to me. It's the 13-year-old game, dude.
I know.
That's bananas.
It doesn't look very good on my PC and my monitor.
Mm.
It actually looks awful.
The bigger your monitor and the better your computer, the worse StarCraft I looks.
Also, Diablo 2. Looks horrible.
Yeah, it's horrific.
I've got it activated in Battle.net, and every now and then I go download it onto some PC and play Diablo 2. And
I remember back in, you know, what's really funny is we're having totally different conversations than yesterday, and I love that. But anyway, I was going to say this. Back in like 01, 02, I remember Diablo 2 hitting the streets, and I remember everybody saying, what is going on at Blizzard? The world is moving toward 3D. There was a whole new line of consoles out that were blowing everyone's mind, like PS2s and Dreamcasts and all this stuff. And here comes, you know, Blizzard with their Diablo follow-up that is decidedly low resolution, 2D pre-rendered graphics, totally in the vein of what they'd done up to that point. They had never delved into the whole 3D thing. And I remember them defending it and giving us reasons why and all that kind of stuff. And look how far they've come. They've really changed the game. Let's put it that way.
They really have, and they're gonna, you know, like you said, they're going to have a huge impact on WoW. I mean, immediately. I think there are a lot of WoW players out there right now who are not at all prepared or aware of the impact on WoW the StarCraft II release is going to have. Something to remember is this: this is just the first of three StarCraft II releases. I've gotten to where I kind of think of the next two as expansions, don't you?
Yeah, a little bit. Because they kind of are in a way. I mean, yeah, they're whole new campaigns and stuff, but you know they're going to introduce like new units and stuff in those games. As far as I'm concerned, they're a more expensive and certainly more fleshed out version of an expansion for sure.
That's exactly how I feel. It doesn't feel like that common complaint that it's a single game divided in three any more than, you know, World of Warcraft, Burning Crusade, and Wrath of the Lich King is a single game divided in three.
Right.
Which is not to say that StarCraft II, the further editions are going to have anywhere near the depth of content that World of Warcraft, Burning Crusade did, for example. But just that I get this feeling that Blizzard has a lot in store for StarCraft II as a single player, and I have a feeling they're also getting to sort of let someone else drive the bus in a way.
Mm.
They're getting to sit back and say, now let's see what these players do with all of these really powerful tools we're publishing, and then we can react to that with the second and third chapters in StarCraft II. It's a really neat strategy.
And I'll say this, all of you StarCraft or all you WoW players living in your little insular StarCraft, I keep saying StarCraft, your little insular World of Warcraft world, and you look at the subscriber base of World of Warcraft and you think, oh, 12 million people, that's hella huge and nobody gets bigger than that. I said it yesterday, I'll say it again. Keep your eye on StarCraft II. That game is going to outsell the total number of people who have ever played WoW, not just even the current subscriber base. That is what these games do. There's no monthly fee. StarCraft has a huge following that don't play WoW. So we're not looking at just you people or me. I happen to be one that loves both. But there are a lot of people who have been waiting for this for a very long time and don't care about RPGs and don't care about MMOs that just want Blizzard's next huge thing. And this is it. And Blizzard knows it. So the big question is, okay, so we believe this will have an impact on the WoW user base. but we haven't really talked about how. Let's do that just briefly. If this game comes out and it's an enormous hit, and people who love Blizzard or were even introduced to Blizzard games through WoW and never played an RTS, even they'll get sucked over there because they're like, oh, something new that this company's doing that I really enjoy, so I'm going to totally check this thing out, and they get all wrapped up in it. And they've been playing WoW for 5 years, and they're a little bit burned out, and suddenly there's a whole new thing for them to spend all of their free gaming time in. Why would they just let that subscription run and run and run? Well, some people will, but if they're kind of burnt on WoW, even if it's just between now and Cataclysm, whenever that happens, I can see how, there are going to be a lot of people that will sort of say, hey, Blizzard, thanks for the, you know, for your own competition here. I'm going to play that for a while and not pay you $15 a month.
That is one of the three groups of possibilities. That really, this StarCraft II release is the great unknown for those of us who follow what Blizzard does and are analyzing the situation. That we really don't know where it's going to take their WoW subscriber base. One of the possibilities is, like you just said, that there is a significant number of people playing WoW for lack of an alternative.
Yeah.
And the alternative is about to hit the stores later tonight. And if that's the case, then we might look back on this someday and see this as the slow decline of World of Warcraft, where you have 11 and then 10 million and then 9 million and 8 million players in World of Warcraft. And there may be a substantial number of people who have only been playing WoW, waiting for StarCraft II to give them what they've been really wanting to do. Players don't actually tend to hold on to MMOs as long as World of Warcraft players have.
Yeah.
With a couple of huge exceptions, players tend to go play an MMO like Conan, like Warhammer, Lord of the Rings Online, and play for a few months and then go on to something else.
Yeah.
And so World of Warcraft is a miracle in this regard, and for all we know, the future of World of Warcraft could be that Cataclysm keeps the decline from happening too fast.
Right, right.
On the other hand, Blizzard has to figure out what their subscribers are doing when they're releasing Cataclysm. It could very well be that they've timed this perfectly, that they get StarCraft II out there. They see a bunch of players who aren't playing WoW start playing StarCraft II, and then they hit with Cataclysm at the right time to keep all those WoW players playing WoW, to keep them interested, to add more.
Yeah, and they're also, all this kind of cross-game stuff kind of keeps them all connected anyway. And you have to think, dude, I'm not calling conspiracy or anything, but I think they have a pretty good idea of how long it's going to take people to play through this campaign. And it's a big one. It's a beast. Be able to play through this campaign and get that really under their belt and then have some have some additional multiplayer time. And I think they feel like they've got a pretty good window generally of when people will be going, oh, man, that was satisfying. Ooh, Cataclysm. You know what I mean?
Right, right. Yeah. And there's that third angle on this. And that's the one that I really want to communicate to those WoW players who have no interest in StarCraft II. And that is that Blizzard's hope, Activision's big dream for this thing, is that, to badly paraphrase President Bush, that they're going to build the pie higher so the same slice has more weight.
Okay.
You know, the same angle of slice is a bigger slice.
Yeah,
and that is what they really hope. They really hope that all these people playing WoW will keep playing WoW, and a ton of people who have not been really buying anything from Blizzard in a long time will go buy and start playing StarCraft II. And your WoW players will look in their real ID and see StarCraft friends that they didn't even ever have in WoW because those people left WoW 3 years ago or whatever. And Blizzard—that's Blizzard's big hope: tens of millions of StarCraft II players who aren't just taking away from their 10 million or however 12 million players playing World of Warcraft. But like every business on the planet right now, Blizzard wants recurring revenue. That is the goal of everything Blizzard is doing, is recurring revenue. And they're going to get it in different ways in StarCraft II. So they really want those, the players in StarCraft II focused on StarCraft II and focused on what they've got to sell and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
Now, there, down that point is where I can't wait to see what happens when Blizzard gets end around run on by people who are using the tools to build incredible maps and incredible mods and versions of StarCraft II like you've never seen before. I mean, what we saw in the beta alone, it blows my mind.
It's what gives them, that's we again mentioned it yesterday, but it's what gives them the longer legs with this game. This map store, whatever they're going to call it, and the ability to buy premium content as well as a bunch of free stuff and mods and full game conversions and all this kind of cool stuff that they're promising and that we've seen come out of people and different developers that they've sort of handed this to and said, hey, make us a game, and then kind of, you know, my mind has been blown by what people have done so far, and that's just them, you know, whipping crap out quick. So I feel like that is going to be the strength of the longevity of this game, and I feel like that integrated the way it is in Battle.net, connected with WoW, connected with your friends there, and those friends being connected back with their friends at StarCraft, and all those people sort of living incestuously together, you know, creates a big money pot for them and for Activision, frankly. I feel like this is all in line with Bobby Kotick's sort of method of, you know, dominate the world and get money for everything.
Yeah, it is. And at the same time, I'm mystified as to where the big tripping hazard is for Blizzard, because it's out there. Blizzard is really, really rushing down a hallway that's got a tripping hazard. And I just don't know what's going to get them.
Yeah.
Is it going to be that they're going to try to sell too many add-on pieces for StarCraft II? Or is it going to be that players will choose one of the three games that'll be out a year from now and sort of abandon the other two? Or what is it? You know, Blizzard's going to, they can't go on without making a huge mistake for this long. And I'm not going to predict like the downfall of the company or something, but there's just got to be, it's a really tough thing to navigate that they're trying to do. You know, one of my predictions is that they are going to be announcing a fourth IP at BlizzCon. I think it's the time is ripe for that. I think they've had plenty of time to bake something in that oven. I don't know if it's going to be a Diablo MMO or what, but they're going to announce something, and I can't wait to see how they navigate this thing, because there's some really big pitfalls for Blizzard. You know, like, for example, I don't know about you, but I kind of see the community taking StarCraft II away from Blizzard the way they did with StarCraft. You know, really, once the community got a hold of StarCraft, Blizzard didn't have a way to make a heck of a lot of money on it, you know?
Oh, yeah, they were done. They got the initial sale of the box, and that's it. But, you know, the Battle.net became a loss leader. It just was this thing you had to provide, and that was it. So this time, look at what they're doing. I mean, it's crazy what they're doing. Everything that they're doing is saying, look, we're going to sell a crap ton of these games, but we have to have the long tail, too. And they're going to do it, it sounds like to me.
For example, one of the things that's going to, I don't know about you, but I feel like I'm going to be playing StarCraft II for a while.
Yeah,
one of the things, as I've seen what people have already done in modding the game, I'm so excited to see what little third-party dude wins the race to produce the Defense of the Ancients map that everybody ultimately plays and agrees is the best.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like this great big crowdsourced event, like a mini event inside the StarCraft II world. What's going to be the winner for Defense of the Ancients? And there'll be more than one, but there'll be one that people play the most. Yeah. And I can't wait to see that, because I know it isn't going to be Blizzard. Blizzard just, they're not even going to try, you know?
No, they've learned that there are other examples out there how this works, but if you give people tools... The internet in general is a testament to this, but if you give people tools, you know, Apple's App Store is a great example of this. People make amazing things on there. If all we had to rely on was Apple to come up with ideas for games, we would all be miserable. So, you know, the same thing is true of, you know, many of the great video games we enjoy today. Team Fortress 2 is the child of a mod that was made to Quake 1 and then Quake 2 and then bought out by Valve and supported by them. You know, so these games come, Portal, same thing. These games come from guys in college working on crap that are just using kind of your infrastructure to build something different and better. Blizzard, I think, has a really good handle on that idea. They've never done it before, but they've got a good handle on it. Where they've kind of done it was Warcraft 3, and Dota certainly got its roots there, but so did, the beginnings of tower defense in general. All that stuff kind of sprang from that period. And
but tower defense, they're right there. I've never seen a tower defense StarCraft map that wasn't being played at a LAN party. I've never once, I'm sure there have been a million people who've played a great tower defense map in StarCraft over the internet, in Battle.net.
Oh, yeah.
But I've personally never witnessed that. It's always LAN party stuff.
Yeah, I've never seen that either. I actually wonder if there is any. Could they script it that way? I don't know if that game was as scriptable as like Warcraft was. I know Warcraft was really easy to like come up with crazy game types and alterations. I don't know if StarCraft had that kind of robustness. Certainly they've, if that's true, if it was, if it didn't have that kind of moddability, this is a complete turnaround from that. This is like sounding like one of the most moddable things on Earth.
Right. But remember, one of Blizzard's big angle on managing StarCraft 2 is no LAN play.
Yeah.
You're going to be playing on Battle.net, or you're not going to be playing. So, have they stifled or have they opened the potential for really great tower defense?
Well,
mods.
Maybe you've just figured out that stumbling block. Maybe you just figured out the tripping point. I don't know.
And then what has Blizzard made the mistake of leaving a way for people to hack patch the game so that they can play
right
in LAN parties?
Right. And they
will. Hey, everybody install this junk. and we're all going to get together and we're going to play offline in a LAN,
They're totally going to do that. You know that. Somebody is going to do that. Like right away. I'm 100% sure that we're going to see StarCraft get hacked and people doing their own thing on their LAN. And the one thing I know about PC gamers is this. They do not like to be told what to do. Ever.
I know. That's exactly why I'm saying I'm trying so hard to figure out where the tripping hazard is, because it's been this nice little happy wow world for so long that there's got to be, there's got to be something that really steers everyone off in left field.
Yeah.
I hate to steer the show too far off in left field, but this StarCraft II toolbox is amazing.
Yeah.
We've already seen Tetris in StarCraft 2.
Yep.
Someone has they made the battlefield and the units into a Tetris game.
Yeah, the bullet hell shooters. Like those are some of my favorite things in the world, where it's just top down shooters, just crazy like banana time Japanese inspired shooters. That looks like a blast.
Yeah, and it makes me ask, why in the world with all of that? Like you give somebody a beta for a few months and all this crazy stuff happens. Why in the world has Blizzard never steered some of that creativity back into WoW? And you and I have talked before about how it would be so cool for a Defense of the Ancients map, so to speak, to be a real battleground in WoW, where the players come in and one of them is made hero and everybody else's job is to support hero, and hero's got to go, get through and kill the ancient for the other team, and you can have this huge stack of possibilities for abilities that hero can have and so forth. There's so much potential.
No, think about it. Like I got to get to that forward tower. It needs iron reinforcement or whatever, and I get that by killing NPC stuff over in this part of the map, and three or four of us got to go do that and keep upgrading that tower so it has improved range and better strength or whatever. This is all possible now. So what's the deal? I agree 100%. Why have we not seen this more complicated stuff in the game? I don't know.
Instead, we have things like Isle of Conquest, which is great. I love Isle of Conquest, but like every battleground, players ultimately just try to get it over with as fast as possible. And so half of the great stuff in Isle of Conquest, thrown out the window.
Yeah.
And, my solution for that is exactly what people will be doing with StarCraft II maps and mods. My solution for Isle of Conquest, my solution for Lake Wintergrass, my solution for Alterac Valley is buff the defenses.
Yeah.
In Isle of Conquest, I feel like structures should be about 50 times buffed.
Yeah.
Over what they are right now, because people just roll through them.
Yeah, they not only roll through them, but they're also just sort of non-events. They become annoyances. It's just like, well, there's that thing we have to do, and it'll only take us a few minutes, but that's a few minutes we don't have. And, you know, they don't feel right. like an integral part of the map the way that they could if we did some of this
stuff. So in Isle of Conquest, you essentially have people ignoring the refinery, ignoring the boat, you know, their quarry. They're just only focused on how fast can we get in and kill the guy and make it be over with. Now, think about this, Blizzard. If you'd given the players the ability to mod the map, we would have made that a heck of a lot more challenging, because we would have made it so that the teams, the sides, had to participate in all the different stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So StarCraft II actually has a leg up here in that it goes out to the people who are actually playing the game and lets them make some of these decisions, and you'll find that players gravitate towards what other players are doing over what Blizzard's doing.
And there's hopefully moving forward, there's some things Blizzard will learn from the StarCraft II community and say, whoa, this game type works well in WoW. Let's port it over there. Let's hire that guy. Let's be a big, happy, win-win world. That's what they're going to do.
Maybe.
Yeah, that happens all the time, you know. Well, other companies do anyway. I mean,
that's exactly right, Scott. Other companies do some things that I wish Blizzard would.
Yeah.
And my favorite example is CCP. That's a company that has their players. They identify their biggest fans, basically, who are also kind of, you know, the smart ones, and they bring them into the fold. I'm not saying hire them, but ask them what they want,
sure,
and what they think,
sure,
and what they don't want, and really, you know, actually pay attention. That is what I really wish every shop that's putting out video games would do, is just sort of model after CCP. But Blizzard is kind of far away from that. They have some like forum MVPs in green, and that's mm-hmm. about it. Mm-hmm. You know, Blizzard feels like they have enough geniuses on staff that they don't need to be asking guys like us what we think they should do.
Yeah, they're on the but this puts them on the path of having at least more opportunities like that. So that gives me some hope. They kind of do it with mods, but their way of dealing with that is, ooh, a good mod idea, let's just integrate it into the default UI. And it's not quite the same as like, ooh, that mod's awesome. You know, like if Valve is running things, they see what you're doing and they go, "Oh, you're hired. And now let's do let's do versions of Counter-Strike for the rest of time." And let's have that game continue to have, you know, amazing fan base. And it does. It still has just tons of people playing it. And you could say the same thing of Team Fortress. You could say the same thing of Portal. You could say the same thing of a lot of things. I think even Left 4 Dead started out as a project that was not an internal one. And they hire really smart, talented people. So they've got a definite business model there. Blizzard just already has, like you said, they already have some of the greatest talent in gaming history. So there's a tendency to sort of pull back a little from that and not want to have too many cooks in the kitchen, you know, if that's a decent way to say it.
But like I say, the way you get the feedback, if you're too big like Blizzard to do what CCP does, the way you get the feedback is you do what they at least look like they're doing in StarCraft II, which is give the world enough tools and enough access to the game to show you what they really want out of the game.
Yeah.
And that is something Blizzard has not done at all with WoW. They allowed it to be modified. They allowed you to write add-ons and then occasionally took some of the add-on work into the game itself. But a lot of that would have happened anyway. You know, as the game went on, Blizzard would have figured out, oh, yeah, you know what? We should kind of pop up some text over your head when you get hit to tell you, like, scrolling combat text would have occurred to them, you know?
Yeah, seems like that would have come to at some point.
The level that players are going to interact with the construction of the game itself in StarCraft II makes WoW look completely closed. And that's something I really, really hope Blizzard figures out and runs with.
Just so for people who are uninformed, CCP could stand for Community College of Philadelphia, the official site of Cook Composites and Polymers, or my favorite, Certified Computing Professional. CCPGames.com will tell you really who we're talking about and what's going on there. All right, but let's quickly touch on the launch itself and get this out of the way, since we've totally gone off in a direction, actually a healthy direction, and it a little more WoW-related than we talked about yesterday. But so Blizzard's one of these companies that kind of can get away with this, this huge, giant launch with midnight openings all over the country. I'm trying to think who else can do this. You sort of pull this off with consoles, maybe the Halo games, stuff like that. But Blizzard is definitely one of those sort of rare companies in a very select group that get to do this. Where are these official launch events? Are there some significant ones with lots of sort of Blizzard folk involved?
There are. They're all around the world. And you're gonna want to look at the we have a link in the show notes. You're going to want to go look at Blizzard.com if you want to go to one of these things. We're talking about there are midnight openings that Blizzard is physically attending, at least with a banner, in London, Berlin, Paris, Stockholm, Moscow, Singapore, Mexico, Brazil, Australia, and of course in North America at the Fountain View Fries, which is closest to their Irvine campus. And out in Fountain View, they're going to be having giveaways, prizes. Our friend Cat Hunter is going to be among a group of Blizzard dignitaries who are meeting the fans in the lineup, and I'm sure they're going to have their tent that they like they have at the Warcraft launch parties. If I was anywhere around LA, I would be going to it. I really would.
We're going to see some Jim Raynor lookalikes, I'm sure. Maybe some Kerrigan, Queen of Blades kind of crap going on.
Yep. Show up in your huge bulky armor.
Yep. With the jetpacks on the back and everything. I know there's a huge one going on in London. Our good friend Terpster will be there. I know that there's some huge stuff happening in Paris.
That one is at a store called Game.
Yeah, which is great.
That's all I know about that.
That's what they do with their magazines are like that too. It's like Play, right? Yes. And Game.
What are you reading there, movie?
Exactly. And then in Paris, of course, we have our good friend Patrick doing much over there for what's going on in France. So
I think Patrick is going to be there. It's at FNAC. And yep. I think it's like downstairs from where he lives. I haven't compared the two addresses, but they look really similar.
Yeah. He's going to walk there. And then if he has to pee, he'll go home and then come back.
Right.
Which is great. That's how I like everything to be in my life. And then I'll be at a Walmart in Saratoga Springs.
Nice. Fancy, good job, Scott Johnson. Go to Walmart.
Fancy digs. Yep. Me and listener Colin, who lives near here, he and I are going to hop in a car and drive down to this this brand new Walmart and get in the midnight line and maybe record some nerds in line if there are any. I have a feeling it'll be a pretty light affair. I don't think there'll be much going on, but they are doing a midnight launch there. Pretty much every Walmart in the country is actually. They're one of the one of Blizzard's main, one of the major partners here. So it by no significant, they're going to sell a lot of copies of StarCraft to Walmart. Let's put it that way. But will it be a big affair with like lots of people in line? Probably not. But I don't care. I just want to play. So I'm going to go get it. And you, Randy, have decided, I understand, to install the preload and then activate day of. Is that how you're going to do it?
Yeah, we can't. I've yet to come across a midnight opening here that really makes me want to go out in the middle of the night. And I think that the one that we can count on is Best Buy in downtown Honolulu. And it's just not, I just don't really care to go to that Best Buy in the middle of the night. So I'm going to enter in a code and download the thing. And, you just activate it in Battle.net. And go on,
Pretty big deal
and
for
that's enough for me.
Pretty big deal for day and date digital distribution this time around. How do you see that playing into future WoW expansions? Like, are we going to get Cataclysm day and date if we want digitally for the first time ever, or no?
I say yes. Mm. Blizzard has really staked their flag in the fertile soil of Battle.net, and I don't think that. That connection between Battle.net and the Blizzard store is at all being used if it's not being used.
Right.
I don't see why Blizzard would put it off. Yes, they really do like to move boxes with WoW. Obviously not as much as they, they don't as much with StarCraft 2, obviously, because they're offering this. But I think they've broken the seal here. And as once you break the seal, you're going to be taking a leak every 15 minutes the rest of the night.
Right.
So I don't know what that has to do with releasing Cataclysm, but my prediction is that Cataclysm hits for launch day download.
Absolutely. Let's talk real quick about Real ID integration, just briefly. And by the way, can I just say, I meant to say this earlier, thank you everybody for your tons of feedback regarding Real ID, our stance on it, your stance on it. We got some incredibly well thought out responses and interesting ideas and takes on Real ID. We're not going to really address that anymore, ever. But it's really not worth it because there's just too much of it. But how's it going to work in StarCraft II? What's the integration?
Well, it's just like WoW insofar as you're going to have in your friends list, you're going to have your Real ID friends, you're going to have the ability to invite people, to accept invites, to broadcast your status, blah, blah, blah. One thing that we're kind of caught up on right now is that Blizzard has said they're going to let you turn off the let my friends view my friends function.
Okay.
And they've said that in StarCraft II, that's coming in the first patch to the game after launch. So they, like I said, you know, they didn't have it in launch. They're trying to get beta through, so they don't put things like that when they realize they've got to make a change. But pretty quickly after StarCraft II comes out, in StarCraft II at least, you're going to be able to set don't let my friends see my friends. Now, we don't understand if that will carry over to all of Battle.net. It seems like it wouldn't. Like in WoW, you have a function, right-click, view friends of friends, right? So they're going to have to patch WoW to also make that move.
Yeah.
But at least they are headed in that direction.
Mm.
If I had to guess, I would guess that function doesn't come to WoW until 4.0. But that's just a guess.
All right. Well, interesting stuff. Real ID is still the interesting topic of the world, and we require you not to talk about it to us ever again.
You know, but you know, as far as that goes, yeah. Well, there was a lot of good discussion in the comments in our blog. There was really good discussion in our forums, and we got just a ton of feedback. We had some great emails back and forth with people who wrote us in email.
Probably 75 or 80 calls, too, by the way, dealing just with Real ID opinions.
Tons of calls, yeah. Which of course we can't really, we're not going to dedicate a whole show to listening, to making you listen to the calls with us and talking back to all those.
Right.
But the thing to know is in our forums, we tend to, we're a little more hands off. Like with the email, it's Scott and I are getting the email, we're going to respond to you.
Sure.
With the forums, we're a little more hands off. We kind of let you talk to you, you know, because we had listeners who were on both sides of everything about Real ID. And so we don't want to exert too much influence. You got people who believe very differing things. If we come in and just throw down and take a side, then it's not good discussion. And then the thing about our blog to know is that we tend to hold off completely with the comments on the blog. We want you to have your space to make a comment, and that's it. You know, the show stands on its own. Your comments on the blog sort of stand on their own.
Mm-hmm.
So just know there's a lot of different ways to communicate with us, and we come back with very different degrees of response.
Absolutely. All right. Well, it's time for, I think, a little rumor and maybe just a tiny bit of Scuttlebutt.
For the Horde! I mean, rumors and Scuttlebutt.
If memory serves me correctly, Blizzard brings some epic loot to Comic-Con. That's what they called their panel on Thursday, by the way. It was called World of Warcraft Epic Loot. It was a gathering of all of Blizzard's biggest partners attached to the WoW side of their business. The heads of Cryptozoic and WoW the Magazine and Wildstorm Comics and DC Direct Action Figures. They all joined Chris Metzen, the man, and other Blizzard dignitaries for some Q&A. Can't talk. This is kind of interesting. Blizzard, not known for their outside of BlizzCon attendance at most cons. They don't really have a showing at all at E3. We mentioned yesterday they have a little sort of side party they maybe throw. But beyond that, they're not really into the kind of the mainstream stuff. But this is one that they do come to, and they come to it with, a different angle than they would normally do.
When I think of Dragon Con, I always wonder why Blizzard doesn't have a big show there. Look at the name of the thing.
Fantasy.
I kind of get why they're not so tethered to PAX, but as we've learned in the last few years with Comic-Con, anyone who grows a big show will get all sorts of people coming to display their wares, and Blizzard is a pretty big shop full of wares.
Right.
So there's a question here that I'd love an answer to about why Blizzard they really came out, not in force, but they really came out for Comic-Con, and that's something they don't tend to do at a lot of other shows.
Yeah, which is interesting. They actually showed a video at the top of the thing that mentioned Path of the Titans. What do you make of that?
It was a video with in-game cinematics about Cataclysm, and it was old. It was the Cataclysm in-game video.
Right, where they're flying through, showing the big rip and barons.
They're showing a bunch of goblins running away from an explosion or something.
Yeah, I remember them. It's funny that they would not think to take that out or edit that, since they have an entire department dedicated to in-game cinematics. But anyway, the point of the panel was to pitch the cool merchandise that Blizzard's partners are selling, or I guess will be selling in the future. But questionnaires in the audience really wanted to kind of have their own way. They didn't really want to talk about some of that stuff.
You gotta watch this video. It's kind of long, but you gotta watch it just to see what it's like to be at a convention and have a company standing up in front of you, sitting at their table in front of you, willing to take questions, and anybody who's fast enough to get up in line for the mic can ask anything they want. It's some of the most entertaining live event you'll ever see.
Yeah, well, we have a link to the entire video. We recommend you watch it if you have 44 minutes of your life to throw at it. Cryptozoic, let's talk about them for a second. One of the questions that came to them, of course, these are the guys that are ex-Blizzard people, took over the job of the TCG and presumably future miniatures games, and they were asked this very question. Will Cryptozoic bring back the minis? And they gave a very workaround, not really firm answer.
Yeah, the Cryptozoic guy just basically said, well, I'm pointing the finger at Blizzard, and Blizzard's pointing the finger at me, but it's on the radar, but we're not attacking it right now.
It's fine, and I get it. They're busy with TCG. They're busy with just getting that business going. This seems like extra, this is frosting on a cake that's already sort of hard to bake. So I get it, but what's your prediction? We get a minis game at some point?
It's a way, way out. It's 9 months out at the very least.
Yeah.
They were asked other questions for Cryptozoic, and they got very enthusiastic answers. And this was just that stock soon. The Blizzard soon. We're talking about it. We're excited about it. We love it. We want to do it. Yeah, well. they just talk around it.
No firm
date. Those are the fun questions. Are the ones where they're sitting up there and they're like, we want to tell you what DC Direct is doing, and the guy and the next person who has the mic says, I want to know why we can't buy more of your music.
Mm-hmm.
All these comic guys are sitting up there like, Chris Metzen, you want to answer this one?
Yeah, they wanted to know. They wanted to know how to get more music on iTunes and digital sources and stuff, which they, again, kind of skirted around in a weird way. I'm actually surprised they didn't get more like, how come Jaina Proudmoore looks different in patch 3.5 than she did in 2.0, whatever. I'm surprised that there wasn't that kind of weird, kind of nerd wow thing happening there. There was a little bit of that, but...
There was some of that. But, like, the music question was, why don't you just take all your tracks and tag them and load them into iTunes and make a fortune, and I want that music on my iPod?
Right.
And, there's not really a good answer to that. But it's just the classic Blizzard, we haven't done it. That sounds like something we might want to do. We got to talk about it. And, they just put them off.
Which is too bad. We're excited. By the way, we've pined for this. We've been hinted at by Blizzard that this may happen sometime or another. But friend and music genius Russell Brower over there at Blizzard, who does all their music, may be coming on the show for an interview. And it's a question we'll ask him if they'll let us.
I had a chat with Blizzard with Russell about a week ago.
Yeah.
And I got the feeling that Russell's going to be off the chain. We may actually get Russell one-on-one, and we may ask him everything that comes to mind.
I get this feeling that this is going to be
pretty crazy.
Well, I mean, you and I are huge fans of the music, obviously. Russell's a great guy. And by the way, I don't know that I've ever talked to a nicer guy involved in the video game industry. He's so nice. So we're not going to rake him over any coals, but I'd really like to know what their plans are, because I would buy their music. More of it. I already buy all of it I can, so bring more. A question was asked to Metzen, how's the movie coming along? How's the WoW movie coming along? He tried to field it with mixed results. How do you feel about his answer? It kind of was like, we're excited.
Right. Well, that's the thing is the questioner anticipated that the answer was going to be the same answer that's been given for years. And so the questioner says, look, don't tell me what I've heard before. If there's not been any progress, just tell me that. But if there has been, tell me something you haven't said before about the progress on the WoW movie. And really, the only thing in Chris Metzen's answer that I can stand on was someone has met Sam Mendes and really likes Sam Mendes. That's what I got out of that whole answer. Otherwise, he did exactly what the questioner asked him not to and said, there's a high level of excitement. You know, Samwise Didier is on board with Sam Mendes, blah, blah, blah. Just the same, you know, the same soon, that trademark soon. Boy, Blizzard's got that down, don't they?
Dude, Metzen's such a pirate. I'm looking at this picture of him. I have it up on the screen. He's got this big old ear.
That
ring.
Is exactly right. He is a complete pirate.
Totally.
In a world where someone like Cat Hunter, who moderated this panel, is a total ninja.
Yeah.
And she, by the way, she just, I don't know why, you wrap some black cloth around her face, she's a ninja.
Right.
She did a great job. I felt sorry for her because they I don't know, she had to stand at a podium the whole time that everyone on the panel was seated.
Yeah.
And it just looked funny. Like she was auctioning off a bunch of Blizzard partners. But
it's 44 minutes, dude. That's a long time to be in one place.
But Kat did a fantastic job. You know, she gave away prizes at the end, and she was still very enthusiastic about it. She's a ninja. He's a pirate. So they got all these vendors there, and some guy gets up and says, I want to know what Blizzard thinks they're doing with the Horde.
Awesome.
Oh yeah, because the guy from you know, DC Direct really could answer that one.
Yeah, and by the way, those DC Direct StarCraft figures, as seen, I saw them over at majorspoilers.com. Amazing looking. They look incredible. Holy crap. I feel like McFarlane Toys has kind of lost the touch, because these DC Direct stuff is really impressive. Anyway, keep moving on.
By the way, the Blizzard dignitaries did a good job with the what in the world are you doing with the Horde? Question,
yeah.
You know, which was basically to say, well, we are the Cylons. We have a plan. Like, trust us here. That, you know, we don't ask for trust very often, which was a total lie by me, actually. And
right.
We have a plan. There is a story we're going to tell. You know, we're not just going to plop down this huge change to the Horde faction and say, live with it.
Yeah.
Now, having heard them say that, it would not surprise me if they plopped down a huge change for Horde faction and said, live with it. Because if Blizzard likes something and they think it works, they stick with it, right?
Of course. And that means if they're gonna change something they like and works, they're gonna do it.
So folks, this is one of those opportunities for you to remember. Oh yeah. Remember when they said they were gonna make fishing better? This is one of those things for you to hold on to. And rub like salt in a wound for years to come.
Mm.
Blizzard said they have a plan to continue the Horde faction story after Cataclysm. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. Moving on to something a little apart from all of this. And again, that entire thing, video, link, show notes, check it out, theinstance.net. Ghost Crawler. This is Greg Street. Greg Street. Calls out some beta testers. That's right. You've been served. Well, maybe not you specifically, although maybe some of you have. But anyway, Greg Street brought the what for to the official forums where the beta testers are specifically. And in his opinion, they're not posting in high enough quality. So I'm going to read this quote. This is what he said. Pretty hardcore. He said, "I hate to go all forum moderator on you guys, but we've seen a recent downward spiral in the quality of some of these threads and posts here on the beta forum. Story time. I started posting heavily in the Lich King beta forums. It was a great experience, and a lot of players enjoyed the opportunity to be able to have an intelligent conversation directly with the developers. I've heard over and over since then what a positive experience that was for a lot of players. It's for that reason that I'm going to be fiercely protective of the quality of posts here in the class discussion forum. If you see a locked thread, chances are we thought it crossed the line. If you keep making the kinds of threads that get locked, then you'll be removed from the beta and we'll replace you with someone who can provide intelligent feedback. Sorry to sound like a jerk. I hate making these kinds of posts, but we want participating in the beta to be a positive experience. F you, signed, Greg Ghost." Oh, he didn't do the F you part. Pretty hardcore, and I'll say right off the top, before we get into why this is the case, I love that they let him do this, that they that their leash is long enough for Greg to say how he feels and to take this kind of initiative in the boards and to do what they really need to do with beta, in the beta, which is get feedback and build on that feedback and find out where bugs are and clean the thing up and get it ready for launch. It helps us all. And for him to ask this is not too much to ask. And I don't think it's jerky. And I like that he says what's on his mind. I like it.
I'm down with you know, forum moderating. I know a little bit about forum moderating, and I can tell you that Blizzard has no hope. They have forums that are too big to moderate.
Right.
And so coming into one of those and saying, "I'm going to draw the line in the sand here." Great. Good on you. Good luck there. But all you can do is what he said, which is kick out the people who aren't providing useful feedback, the ones who are using the beta forums to gripe about things that have nothing to do with the beta, or to, you know, to discuss in ways that don't contribute to Blizzard fixing problems. That's, you know, that I get. It's just not, it's not going to, they don't have a hope of spreading that sort of thing to the bigger problem. It would be way too big an effort for Blizzard to expand on that, that concept elsewhere.
Yeah, you're probably right. I just think that if you ask me right now, Scott, which Blizzard employee would you, if you could just pick one and it was the only one you could get and you want to interview him today, I'm thinking we'd go Greg Ghost College Street. That's who we get.
He would definitely be the most likely to put up with shenanigans.
Yeah, oh, for sure. And he would be most likely to say, "Screw the lawyers. Here's what I'm going to say." Because he does that all the time.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
I don't mean to contradict what he said, which is, "I'm not putting up with any shenanigans." But he would be he would be the most likely person to get steered off the leash by us.
Yeah, which would be fun. Although I wouldn't mind it if I said, "All right, Greg, we're going to ask you some questions." And he says, "All right, but no shenanigans." That would make me laugh. But he's not going to do that. He would be epic on the show. I would absolutely be thrilled.
You know, these programmer types like Jeff Kaplan and Corey Stockton have been browbeaten about saying too much or saying things they didn't have to so long. And they've been to so many dealing with the media seminars and how to talk politics, that you just really could only have so much fun talking within their confines.
Right.
And a guy like Greg Street, oh my gosh, I wish he would have, you can see why he wasn't at Comic-Con, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
I wish he had been. That would have been very interesting.
There are times at BlizzCon where I think there's a dude just behind him that's supposed to jump up and grab him if he keeps talking, kind of thing.
Is there somebody with a cattle prod right there?
Like one of those hooks
to
like
zap him?
Old vaudeville hook that just reach out and pull him off stage.
I get the feeling that Samwise Didier is like that.
Yeah, a little bit.
Anybody with hair that long is willing to say anything anytime.
These artist and designer types are trust. So I'm going to give you a straight up question. Could Blizzard successfully take this kind of attitude, the Greg Street attitude of forum moderation, across the boards outside of what you can do in a beta forum?
Yes, but there's a huge caveat there, and that is you got to understand just how big their forums are, just how many forums there are. There are hundreds Some people don't realize you can drill down into battle group forums, forums for individual realms. There are hundreds and hundreds of forums in the WoW site to actively moderate that sort of stuff so that you are, for example, closing every thread that's off topic,
yep,
splitting derails, merging duplicate posts, kicking people, banning people from posting temporarily, giving infractions, all that stuff. My estimate is that Blizzard would need about 100 individuals with the rights to do all that junk.
Yeah.
Well, that's 100 people.
Yeah, it'd be bad.
And it would be a mammoth undertaking for those 100 people. And the reason Blizzard doesn't do it, and the reason they're not even really considering it, is because in forum moderation, you have to find a way to get all your moderators on the same page as far as culture.
Yeah.
And there's, you can't do that with 100 people.
No, it's not,
you just can't.
It's not possible. Any more than you can get all those posters on the same page, culturally speaking. It doesn't work either. And I haven't tried the new StarCraft forums and what they're going to change with the WoW forums, so I can't really speak to this yet. But I understand that there's going to be some more crowdsourced moderation, so the people will be able to vote threads up and down and that kind of stuff, which is very common now in lots of blogs and other forum types and stuff. So it seems like a logical thing. But if I was Blizzard and this was untested, I would be a little worried about that, because we've kind of learned that a small, very vocal portion of the forums can do a lot of damage if they want. So, you know,
yeah.
Like a group of 30 guys who all are pissed about something could spend all day without blinking an eye and eating a meal, voting down everything they just wanted to piss people off with. And Blizzard
knows this,
you know?
Yeah, that's an era in forums moderation that Blizzard is going to inch into very slowly.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things they've discussed is making it so that you really can't hide on an alt. Like, you can switch around and post from the alts, but if someone chooses to ignore you, they're going to see that they are ignoring you from all of your alts. So you would kind of the ruse would be given up.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying they're going to do that, but they've certainly considered it. And that's the sort of consideration that then blows up into a great big argument among the people who would really like such a thing and those who wouldn't. And if you know, if you've never experienced the sort of realm forum argument that only the most base of the WoW players can contrive, you really should, actually. You should go to the forum for your realm, your favorite realm, and just look at some of the discussions. Some of them very useful. You'll see guilds recruiting. You'll see people having nice discussions about realm community.
Right.
And then you'll see the ugliest part of the forums. And ask yourself, how would I fix this? And see if you come to any conclusion that everyone would accept.
Yeah, good luck. Holy crap. That is a tall order. All right, before we go to Town Crier, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, it's your calls and emails. We'll be right back.
Oh, Why, it's the town crier.
Oh, it's the town crier. Welcome, everybody, to Town Crier. This is where we get to listen to what you have to say, read what you have to say, and then we talk about it at our own pace. We have so many. We have so many calls today. I don't even know what to do with myself. We have way more than usual. They were all really good this week, or I guess the last 2 weeks as I was gone for vacation. So you guys really nailed it with the calls. We kept a ton of them. We're going to play them now. Let's start with someone asking about a replacement for Gatherer.
Hey, Scott and Randy, this is Jack Bauer, an elemental shaman on the Kael'thas server. I have a question regarding an add-on. Gatherer has continued to work fairly well, even though it hasn't been updated in ages. But going forward, I've got the feeling that it'll finally bite the dust when Cataclysm launches. Do you have any recommendations for an add-on similar to Gatherer that would be of help to miners and herbalists? Look forward to hearing about it. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Interesting assumption that he thinks Gatherer, that the lack of updates means Gatherer is going away.
Right. And so I'm going to disagree with that basis.
Yeah.
The lack of updates only means that Gatherer has nothing new to deal with in the World of Warcraft. Blizzard has not changed the landscape and where all those nodes are in, so long that Gatherer doesn't need to be updated.
Yeah,
Gatherer is alive and kicking.
Yeah,
they are. You know, Norgana's forums are still being posted, and there has been no notification whatsoever that Gatherer is going to go away. In fact, I will bet you that that Norgana's team are hastily playing in the beta and trying to make Gatherer work so that when 4.0 comes out, you can update Gatherer and continue using it. But you asked, so the answer to your question is Gathermate. Mm. It's an Ace, WoW Ace add-on. Mm. It was last updated in April, if that makes you feel better. And it does pretty much the same thing.
Yeah. And who knows? Gatherer's got a long pedigree, so I think I'd actually stick with them personally, but we'll see. We'll see when the new 4.0 comes out. We got some questions about old WoW and its relation to Cataclysm. Actually, we have a lot of these kinds of questions. These are all really good. Check it out.
So I've been a long-time listener, and I love the show and the whole Frog Pants movement, but I do have a couple questions that I can't seem to find the answer to, and I was hoping you guys could help me out. First question, I don't have a lot of space in my hard drive, and I was wondering if we will need the old WoW installed to play Cataclysm. If it's essentially a new version, then my guess would be no. But what do you guys think?
Okay, we'll start with that. We'll go
once again, though, I have to say I heard the words pants and movement. And you do not want to have a movement in your pants.
Nope.
I'm just saying.
Nope. I recommend against it. Yep. Having been there, done that, I would say don't do that. I like this guy's energy. He's serious about this question. What do you think?
The thinking here is, I've forgotten what the question is.
Oh.
Oh my gosh, what just happened to me?
Yeah, here, I'll reiterate right here.
First question, I don't have a lot of space in my hard drive, and I was wondering if we would need
right. I can't believe that. You know what? The reason I've totally spaced the question
Is
not that
your
we've
pants.
Done this all before.
Oh.
it's that the question is again, it's based on. It comes from a basis that isn't right.
Right.
So my brain just jumped all the way past it and started going on to the next question.
Yeah.
Yes, of course you want to have the game so far. WoW has always been a stack of MPQ files, and this is going to be another one or two or three huge files in that stack.
And it's just going to overwrite what you've got. They're not in addition to.
It's
an addition to, but it's not redundant. In other words, you're not going to.
Oh, that's true.
They're not going to back it up and go, okay, well, the Shimmering Flats, the way it was, is still on your hard drive, but here's the way it is now. But you can't do anything about it unless you delete it or whatever. That's not how they work. These are going to they're going to be larger files, of course, but they're just going to replace each other. Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
All right.
You are going to, if you don't have WoW, like at all,
yeah.
The install for Cataclysm is going to be huge. It's going to be much larger than it will be if you already have WoW installed. If you already have WoW installed, you're going to be adding on like 20 gigs. Seriously, it's that much.
It's outrageous.
If you don't already have WoW, you're going to be adding on like 30 gigs.
Yeah.
So you want to already have WoW in place. It is not a strong strategy to save space or whatever by killing WoW before installing Cataclysm. It will not make a difference.
Indeed. He goes on to say, okay. And he goes on to ask,
version, then my guess would be no. Okay. But what do you guys think?
Right, here's a question.
Second question. If we wanted to complete things in the old WoW after the Cataclysm release, will it be as simple as not installing Cataclysm? I mean, will the old WoW even work after the Cataclysm release? Anakin from Kill Jaden.
Okay. Oh, derp. Anakin from Kill Jaden. Obviously an app slappy listener. I would say this to you, sir. We don't know exactly 100,000% for sure about what that means in vanilla WoW if you don't buy the expansion. But what we believe is going to happen is that 4.0 patch will force everyone to have new world stuff in the old world. That's what we think.
Yes.
And probably that's what you're going to get.
And that's the thing is, it's like saying, hey, if I only install and play vanilla WoW, won't I be on version 1. Whatever the last patch is? And the answer is no. You will be on version 3.3.5 just like everyone else.
Yeah.
So version 4.0 is going to have a big rip in the barrens.
Mm-hmm.
And whether or not you are running those last expansions, you're going to see a big rip in the barrens because you're going to be in version 4.0 with everyone else.
Now, the power of this, and I didn't think about this yesterday, so here's some new content for you. The power of this idea is, I hadn't thought of this, but if you have never decided to do an expansion, 60 was good enough for you, you're done. But you're still playing the game in some way, whatever it is you're doing. I don't know what you're doing, but sure. So let's say you're doing that. You just got a whole bunch of new content to start a new alt, 1 to 60, if you want. You know what I'm saying? Like if you never buy the expansions, you're getting a piece of a free expansion in a very real way.
A
piece, but all those quest lines, all those changes, that's all in that patch. If our assumption's right.
Yeah, but get on to the caller who talks about the money. Well, you know, he's going to be our last caller, I think.
So yeah, we'll get to
him. We'll
get
come to back to that.
We'll get to him. Level 60, what to do now the Cataclysm's coming out.
Hey, Scott and Randy, this is Dunkelman, level 61 Warrior Tank on the Kargas server. I'm a new player and a big fan of the instance, and I just made it to Outland with my first tune. I really love your Cataclysmic drop of the week. But I have several friends at level 80 who are waiting and begging me to join them for level 80 dungeons and raids. But I really only have like maybe 4 or 8 hours a week at the most, a few late nights to play. So I'm torn. What's my best gaming experience going to be? Should I raid and blast away to level 80? Or should I do my cataclysmic drops because I'm not going to get it anymore? I don't know. Help me out.
He is a reminder that there are people at all stages of this game. It isn't just simply a wad of 80s with your friends all sitting around just waiting for Cataclysm and taking down Ruby Sanctum every weekend. There are various players at various stages. There are people just getting their first riding mount. There are people who just hit 10 and can finally tame their damn pets. And there's this guy who's just entered, you know, the world of Outland and is trying to figure out what he should be spending his time doing. I loved your advice yesterday. Let's see if we can muster it again. What did you tell him? It was really good.
Well, the thing is, you're torn on this, and I don't see that it matters. And the reason I don't see that it matters is because whether you have been playing for years and you've only just now gotten your main to level 61, or you've just bought the game in April and you've gotten your first character to level 61, it doesn't make a difference to you. If you hang around and try to complete stuff that you'll never be able to do again, that'll be fun, that'll be interesting, it'll be memorable, and then you'll go on and level up through Outland and Northrend, right? And you'll experience Cataclysm.
Right.
If you rush to 80, or you know, maybe not rush, but if you push to 80 and ignore that other stuff, you're going to have the same game time put in. You're going to have the opportunity to get some experiences, but let's face it, but by the time Cataclysm comes out, you're not going to be able to go build up a dungeon set and run ICC and Ruby Sanctum. That's just not going to happen.
Right. So the argument is, if we've got some time between now and Cataclysm and your friends are just sitting there waiting, and if you really want to experience some of that content, get up to 80 and do it and run with your friends. And maybe those same friends can travel back with you and do, you know, old crap too, and get all that stuff cleared out before the world changes. So I think you kind of have both of those. If Cataclysm was coming out next week, well, then I'd say you're screwed either way. Just do what you want to do.
Those Cataclysmic drop of the week items that we're highlighting are about players who are going to severely miss it if they find out after 4.0 comes out that they can no longer ever again do certain things. Whether you're an old player who's just never gotten above 61 or a new player, that doesn't really matter. You know, mm-hmm. that, how could you feel that feeling of really missing the opportunity to do something in a game that you've never even gotten a max level on, or you've only been playing a little while? Yep. That's my point.
Yep. Good point. Good luck to you and all that you do. Moving on to another Cataclysm question. How are they going to work out this story?
Hello, Scott and Randy. This is Rio, your friendly neighborhood orc warrior of the guild Exodus on the Karen server. I have a question about Cataclysm. Do you guys know if characters that hit level 60 will then have to go back and revisit the Burning Crusade and Wrath content? And more importantly, how is this going to fit into the lore? The Cataclysm is an event that takes place after the fall of the Lich King, so it seems rather strange to travel into the Outland to face Illidan and then into Northrend to prepare for Arthas after having already experienced the aftermath of the following events. Awesome podcast. Y'all have a good one.
Well, they're definitely going to have to go do that content, because that's where your leveling content is between 60 and 80.
Right. The new leveling content in Azeroth is 81 to 85 content.
Yeah, or, and I guess technically 0 to 60, but...
Not really.
That's
still sort of the same stuff.
Yeah, there's some changes, but whatever.
They're trying to get out of lore conflicts.
Right.
But they're not. It's not very different.
He makes a really good point. We talked at length about this yesterday. The gist of it, the upshot is, if you know, Blizzard has painted themselves into a bit of a time machine corner here, because while I've always been okay with this idea that a level 5 dealing with what he's dealing with, which is part of a quest chain that eventually becomes this huge blown-out story at level 60, is in the same timeline that my level 65 Death Knight is in Outlands trying to deal with the whole Illidan crap, and then my 80 is killing the Lich King that very hour, you know, that all was okay with me because the player progression is also a time progression, right? I mean, you can look at it that way. It's just a big linear path that you're on and so on. When he brings up this point, it's a good point, because now what you're saying is go to Outland, and Outland's sort of oblivious to it. It's like, oh, yeah, it's just normal stuff. Let's all do our crap and poke each other in the butt and do our thing. And then
poke each other in the butt.
All right, maybe that. I don't know where that came from. But
I know.
But then you go to Northrend. It's the same thing. Kill the Lich King. We don't know what's happening down in... You know, Azeroth. So it's hard.
That's okay as long as it's linear, because Deathwing Arising doesn't have to be some sort of only because the Lich King fell event. They can just be unrelated. You know,
they can be. Yeah.
There's a bunch of jerks over there bringing up Deathwing, and you can kind of justify the lore for yourself.
Yeah.
The thing about what this caller's talking about is what reminds me of the Star Wars with the prequels. And that's right, it's the Star Wars. imagine someone who hasn't ever watched those movies.
Right.
All right?
Yeah.
And you put them the box set out in front of them, and they start watching the movies. They're going to watch episode 1, episode 2, episode 3, 4, 5, 6.
Yeah.
You watch them in a very different order. You watch them in a circle that starts halfway around the curve.
Yeah.
And they're going to have a somewhat different experience than you by quite a ways. They're going to have a different experience.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that the story can't be told, or that it doesn't make sense,
or it can't reconcile. You know? Sure. Yeah, I think that's all fine. All I know is it's just a little bit weird. Okay, where I have bigger heartbreak with other issues that are already in the game. For example, every time I fly over the Wrathgate area, The screaming and the moaning and the crying and the complaining that's still going on ever since I got through that phase.
I'm
thinking to myself, you know what? I've seen Baldy McBurney hands up there with the Lich King taking the helmet and sitting back down in the chair. I've seen at the end of this. But you people are still down here crying and moaning about it. So, I mean, if I'm okay with that, if I can somehow have that, if I can live with that, then I can live with this. I'm okay with it. You know,
That's
a little weird,
that's
but
exactly
it's fine.
Right.
It's fine.
That's the way to look at it, is there are many things that follow many other things in this game. And Blizzard used to have a game where everything that followed something you experienced at a higher level than the something.
Yeah.
Right? So if in the timeline you experienced something around level 60, it followed something you experienced level 40 in the lore. And now they're breaking out of that convention.
Right.
That's all.
Right. That's it. Simple pimple. Good luck with that and have fun. I still maintain yesterday I said that we should all be forced to go to Caverns of Time to go when we go to Northrend or when we go to something else and go back in time a little bit and then come back. Instead of the Great Portal, it's one of the, you know, some new hole that some goblin blew in the ground in Caverns of Time to go to Northrend 3 years ago.
It's a very interesting idea. It doesn't yet work because they're keeping Dalaran as the major city hub. But eventually, I think Caverns of Time could be the solution to everything.
To all our problems, absolutely. Speaking of problems like aging and time, this guy's got a good question about NPCs.
Hey, Scott and Randy, this is Beef Chief from the Korgath U.S. realm.
Beef Chief. Just want to make that
Beef
clear.
Beef Chief! That's
Beef
a great
Chief!
Name.
This is almost as good as, what's the other one we like so much? Beanus. Beanus! Beanus and Beef Chief. Out tearing it up. All right, there's the rest.
I was looking at the beta test on YouTube, and I noticed that the son of, you know, the son of the King of Stormwind, he looks a little older than he did in the live version right now. So I was wondering, what is your thoughts on playing a game so long that the NPCs are aging? And that's pretty much it. Thanks for the show, and take it easy.
So what do you think about whiny Varian Wrenn's whiny son getting older?
It's they were actually asked this in the Comic-Con panel.
Mm.
What's going on with the timeline? You know, is it very near to what's been happening? Has it been a long time? And Chris Metzen said point blank, we're working on about a 10-year spread from the stuff you encountered in the beginning of Vanilla WoW to the stuff that you're encountering in the beginning of Cataclysm. About a 10-year spread. So if you encountered Anduin Wrenn back in the days when he was the little King of Stormwind, because his father was missing, he was whatever age he was. They're not saying precisely. My guess is like 8. And I say that because if you add about 10 years, you've got a teenager.
Yeah, 18-year-old.
And that's what they're kind of making him look like now.
Mm.
He looks like he's gained a few years. He really doesn't look like he's gained 10 years, but I'm that's where I'm going with it. They say he's 10 years old right now.
Yeah.
I don't know. I see him as sort of 7 and 17 before and after Cataclysm. So we'll see. You know, they could still tweak with him, but that's what they've said. They've said it's a 10-year span.
Yeah, and I noticed Jaina Proudmoore's got some pretty bad varicose veins. Her boobs are sagging a little bit. What else?
Right.
Garrosh Hellscream's got big old gray burns now, lamb chop burns on his face.
Oh, yeah, man. Looks like Bubba Hotep. just really, really scary.
Yes.
Let's see. Of course, the elves, all the elves look exactly the same as they always have.
Right. They don't
They're
age.
They're never changing.
These bastards.
But those Draenei guys, they start to get a little droopy in the octopus tentacles. You know, they got that octopus face thing where the tentacles get kind of droopy and start to sag.
Same with their testicles, to be honest. It's not just tentacles. It's also
you have
testicles.
To take off all your gear to see that, and I don't recommend it.
Indeed. All right. Next call is, there's a lot of these. We're just ripping through these. We got one about reforging. It's a good question.
Hi, Scott and Randy. This is Greenhorns from U.S. Vecna Lash, Guild The Cake is a Lie. My question is about Cataclysm and reforging. Reforging was a very promising thing they told us about, so we could swap stats around on gear. Haven't heard anything about it in several months, and was hoping you guys had heard something. I'll be listening. Bye.
All right. Reforging.
So it's real simple. It's real simple. We saw an article in June, maybe 5 weeks ago, maybe six, where Blizzard stated that it's in Cataclysm. We have seen evidence that there is at least one reforging vendor, and so we assume they are going to be in all the major cities in Cataclysm. And reforging, as it stands right now, is a 40%, however they choose to calculate that, a 40% trade out for whatever you're trading out. So in our example with Scott, he's a hunter. He gets a sword that has intellect on it and decides he would rather have a secondary stat like crit or haste on that sword. He goes to the reforger. He gives up, and we're going to – this is a really, really generic example, not at all accurate mathematically. But he gives up a plus 100 intellect for a plus 40 haste in return.
Right. That makes sense. And it's happening. The point is that Blizzard announced it. They talked about it at BlizzCon at length. They've kind of been pretty quiet about it, but there have been interviews where they've mentioned it. And most importantly, there is now in the current build of the beta an NPC in Stormwind doing reforging work. It's not working yet. Like, you can't get him to do anything, but he's there. So yeah, that seems to lend itself to, yes, you're going to be getting your reforging.
They have proposed that the cost of reforging will be identical to the sell cost of the weapon.
Oh, that's great.
Or whatever the gear is. So you can kind of predict what reforging will cost you with the lower level weapons, you know, 10, 15 gold.
NPC money, you're saying. Like, yeah. That's really cheap. I'm a little surprised by that, to be honest. I really am. If it's 15 gold to get that stat changed on something I'd sell normally for 15, that's cheap to me. So, wow, that surprises me. All right. Moving on to a note about, what will Cataclysm cost? We have our opinions. Let's play this call.
Hello, the Scott and the Randy. I was wondering if Cataclysm would be priced like previous expansions, considering most of the new content is already going into the game anyways, and if so, I don't know if I can justify spending $60 so I could gain 5 levels and play as a new race. Thanks. I love you.
We love you too. We really do. Okay, I have a prediction. I am going to say Blizzard goes less money this time because I think that while I'll let you disagree with the basis of his argument, but I'm going to say $39.
All right. I just think you're so off.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that is because it would be cheaper than anything Blizzard has released ever.
True.
In World of Warcraft games, it would be cheaper than any of the WoW expansions. And then StarCraft 2 is coming out for, I think the North American price is $59, right?
Yeah, they're going full and console price. They're snubbing their nose at PC.
And then the collector is $99, right?
Yep.
So I don't see Blizzard backing down from those price points. And I'm sorry for that. I'm sad for that. I disagree with that. I am not cheering Blizzard if they do that, but I'm predicting that Cataclysm will be $59, and maybe they step down a little bit on the collectors for Cataclysm. The collectors for Northrend was, I believe, I recall, $89.
Yeah, but the expansion itself was only $49, so you think they'll go $59 this time?
Yes, I do. I can't help but think that once they've set a price point for a Blizzard game, that they're going to stick with it, even though it's an expansion pack.
I think 39 because I think that perception is everything, and I think this guy's perception is like a lot of perceptions, where we know that the game itself is not just a patch that you're paying for. That there's a lot more to this, and that, you know, we talked yesterday about the value of having two new races to play is an enormous value for us, and all that kind of stuff. But I think perception rules the day, and I think there are going to be a lot of people who really believe that Cataclysm is just a redressing of content they already own. And that Blizzard will come in a little low. Just lowball it. At the worst, $49, but I think $39 is a possibility, if not likely.
Here's the bottom line for me. I got two important things here. One, Blizzard, more importantly, Activision, truly believes that there are going to be a lot of players out there that are going to buy three StarCraft II Collector's Editions at a total of a $300 price point for StarCraft II, Scott. Okay. Now, having said that, don't forget, this is the same company that expects you to spend around $300 on Rock Band if you're a good player of Rock Band.
Yeah, right? I forget Activision's in the mix, but yeah, you're right.
Now, there is just not – they have not been given a market reason to suddenly jump down in price with a game that has World of Warcraft on the box cover.
Yeah.
And they expect – they really do expect to make a heck of a lot of money in over-the-counter sales on this thing in addition to the recurring monthly fees.
Right.
So I'm, you know, like I say, I'm not promoting this. It's just my prediction.
All right.
It's actually a bit of a sad prediction.
Yeah, I don't like it. Makes me feel sad.
Now to one point the caller made, I think it's very important to say, if you don't buy this expansion, you are not getting most of the content of the expansion. It is a very inconsistent rumor to say that because I will be installing version 4.0 and playing with everybody else and seeing the big rip in the barons that I'm getting the content. You're not going to be able to level up a gnome. A goblin. You shouldn't level up a gnome. You're not going to be able to. You're not going to be able to level up a worgen. You're not going to be able to play those things. You're not going to be able to use new secondary profession, blah, blah, blah. A lot of the content, the 81 to 85 zones and quests and so forth, are lost to you if you don't buy Cataclysm. That's the reason they think that they can charge you as much as I think they're going to try to charge you. So don't convince yourself that the protest here is over money for the content lines.
Right.
It's either overpriced or it's not, but you're not getting the content if you don't buy it.
Right, exactly. All right, moving on to some. This is just sort of some business here at the end. I'm going to play this clip. It came attached to an email, and then we'll talk about it.
Actually, you just read the email. I just put this here because I thought if you see an attachment, it would make you more likely to actually click on the email.
Incorrect. Incorrect. All right, so let me tell you how this works. When we get emails and they have attachments, one of my self sort of appointed naturally happening occurring duties is I look for the attachments so I can prepare calls and files for the show. And that means I got to change people's levels, convert them from weird formats. I got to do all that kind of stuff. And if I see an attachment, the first thing I do is download it and delete your email because I am presuming the content you want to express is in that MP3. And so it actually made it 1,000 times less likely to read your email.
So my primary job is to skip the emails that have attachments and make sure that I read the ones that are text and reply to them if they need a reply.
Right.
Save them if I need to save them for something.
Yeah.
Sort out the quickfire questions. It's just so sad to me that you did the one thing that hid you from both me and Scott.
Yeah, like we'd see and go, ooh, tempting. It's got an attachment. I should read that. It's not how it works at all.
Yes. Here I am thinking, I would now like to go read your email to the listeners and respond to it. I don't know how to find it.
Yep.
Sorry.
That is pretty epic. That is epic.
By the way, a real-time update. I have just been handed this important bit of news. It is not on the Blizzard site, but I can exclusively name the Blizzard dignitaries that will be at the launch of StarCraft II tonight. It starts at 9 p.m. Pacific at, like I say, Verizon Fountain View. Seriously, I've just gotten this in our email directly from a contact at Blizzard. It's going to be hosted by Cat Hunter and Kim Fan. They're going to be introducing and having the event questions to and with Paul Sams, Frank Pierce, Rob Pardo, Sam Didier, Chris Metzen, Mike Morheim, and then there will be around 50 devs signing copies. There's going to be live music from Joe Ray's Bar, and there is going to be 1v1 tournament on site tonight. That is all just in.
Wow. So if you live in that area or nearby parts, we recommend going.
Yeah, I would.
And say hi to Kat for us, because we love her.
And remember, Zerg for the win.
Zerg for the win, baby. All right, we got two more calls. These are just quickies. This guy's trying out for something.
Hey, Scott and Randy, this is Adam, working on my Scott Fletcher impersonation. Tell me what you think. Boobies! Think I have what it takes?
Boobies! Nope, thank you. That was terrible. There's no way in hell.
Oh, that was such good timing by you. Oh, man.
Well, I kind of cheated and edited it in there. But yeah, good effort. Keep it up. Keep trying. Keep hacking away. Don't quit your day job. But Fletcher's a tough act to follow. That's all I'm saying.
To Fletcher, it's fun to impersonate Fletcher, but you really can't.
No, it's not possible.
You know?
What you've done is the impossible. And I applaud the effort. But
we had somebody write us and say, could I use your A-Team thing? You know, we had an A-Team intro to the instance a couple episodes ago.
Yeah.
And he said, this guy's having a contest on his podcast for the listeners to create content.
Mm.
And he wanted to use the A-Team intro
as an example
of what to do.
Right.
And I was just like, this is all Scott Fletcher's fault, man.
Yeah, totally.
Please give him credit, because
he makes everything better. I don't care what it is. If his voice is involved, it's better.
Exactly.
I could have, you know, he could have horrible Tourette's. And he would sound great. He'd just be going, frying pan.
Oh, I got a...
Shit, frying pan.
I got to script a Tourette's character to have Scott Fletcher perform.
See?
Great.
This is where the best ideas come from, right in the middle of a live show. All right, so there's that, and we got one last call. This unfortunate individual did not time his call very well. Oh, that wouldn't be it.
Oh, hello.
It'd be this one.
Hey, guys, this is Scythe, a level 80 Death Knight on the Ultiman server, and I had a question for you about epic flying. And my question is, hang on one second.
Hey, Dad, back there, Larry. My name's Julie. Would you like to try the new Miss Cosby combo today?
No, thank you. I'd like to get a number one combo with just cheese and ketchup and a Diet Pepsi, please.
Gross.
Oh.
Gross. What? Who is ordering that, dude? That sounds so bad to me.
It's like we know that he perfectly timed his call in the drive-through so that would happen, but then he goes and orders a hamburger with only ketchup and cheese.
Ugh.
Just completely missing all the best parts of a burger.
And only focusing on the worst parts. That's really gross. And then buy a Diet Pepsi? Blah. Blah.
Oh, and by the way, Scott, I'm going to put you on your toes here. He failed to order a hamburger with cheese using the proper term.
Oh, Royale with cheese or what?
No, come on. Hit me.
Oh,
come on, Scott.
What
do you call a hamburger with cheese when you're Scott Fletcher?
Oh, you call it a... Oh, wait, hold on. Pretend as if time hasn't passed. He would say, I would like to please have a...
Cheeseburger.
There we go. I was not ready for that.
That was so funny.
Cheeseburger.
All right. Second time's a charm. See? Better every time, because he says stuff. All right. Thank you guys for that. We really appreciate it. It now is time for something we very affectionately refer to as...
Oh, quickfire questions! It's time for quickfire questions!
Now this, I just want to make it clear. This is the point where we had no show yesterday. So up till right a minute ago, that was a show we lost. And then I paused it, lost everything. Here's where it's all freaking new. Like, this is...
Yes!
We didn't do any of this. So like, rejoice, Randy.
The last 14 hours of our lives have been building up to this.
Totally. So I'm very stoked about it. This, of course, is our Quickfire Questions segment, where we take questions quickfire style. And
yes.
We ask each other really fast. I get mine from Twitter. Randy gets his from our email account. We'll give you more information on that here in a minute. Let's go ahead and knock this out. I think for the music today, we're going to go with a little World of Warcraft style stuff here. Let's see.
Ooh.
Actually, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do...
What are we going
to
do?
I'm going to do the theme to... I changed my mind. I'm going to do the theme to Machinarium, which is
nice.
One of my
That's
favorite great game soundtracks. So there's that, Ed.
Okay, quick questions.
All right, here we go. I'm going to ask you first. Are you ready, Randy? Are you sitting comfortably? Are you ready to go?
Ready. Hit me.
Tainton Palm says, I can has beta key.
Possibly.
Yeah, we're working on that.
Working on it.
More about that in a minute.
Okay, yeah, later.
We'll save that. Daniel R. says, if a tree falls in the forest and it kills a gnome, does anyone care?
The gnome's mama.
That's it. No mama.
No mama.
No mama. That's nacho cheese. Brian S. says, why do I fail at healing? Frowny face.
Don't ever take the responsibility. Instead, believe that your DPSers fail at standing and that your tanks fail at threatening.
Yeah, and the spoon isn't really there. Joel T. says, how do you dress your tune for formal occasion? This is a good question for you.
This is a very good question. It's very, very simple. You want to wear as little as possible. Always remember that. And take off your weapon.
Oh, I will take that personally. Not a euphemism. Jack Foster says, what do you think will be the most overpowered class come Cataclysm?
Let's see. Most overpowered class in Burning Crusade was,
Druids.
Forget. Right, okay, I'll go Druid. Most overpowered class in Wrath of Lich King was Paladin by a long shot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking it's about time that Blizzard gives some love to the mage.
Yeah.
I think they're gonna overcorrect for mages, and it's gonna be so sweet.
They always overcorrect for the ones that have been undercorrected in previous expansions. So I think you're right. Mages will get the love. Quill says, can old man Franks and I get married at Nerdtacular, and will Scott and Randy officiate?
Old man Franks is engaged to be married to someone, and that's not you. However, Nerdtacular does take place in Utah.
Yeah.
Hint.
Yeah. So I don't know what that hint is, but yes, come on down.
Start sending little love notes to old man Franks. Dot your I's with hearts.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I get your reference now. You made a multiple wife joke.
Oh.
All right. Dave L. says, do you refer to Bigfoot as A, Sasquatch, B, Bigfoot, or C, Skunk Ape?
I refer to Bigfoot as my favorite monster truck.
Oh, yeah, baby. Sunday. Catherine says, of Dr. Pepper's 23 different flavors, which one is the most important for the overall flavor?
Oh, that would be lactic acid.
Right on. And finally,
I actually know the answer to that question.
That's pretty good. Finally, Ken says, do you think patchwork has blah, 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 blah. Start over. Ken says, do you think patchwork has had some professional work done?
Oh, definitely. And the professional was a really, really psychotic doctor. My gosh.
Love it. All right. That's my questions. Randy, do you have some for me?
Yes, I got questions for Scott Johnson. Quickfire questions.
I'm ready.
And here we go. John M. asked, who is the most famous person from Utah?
John Hunt, or no. Who's the guy who ran for president and fixed the Olympics for us? He's kind of a lame candidate, but Republican candidate for president. Mitt Romney, probably.
Oh, good answer. Yeah. Good answer. Envec of the Black Hand server asked, how does glue not stick to the inside of the bottle?
Wow, a science question. How does it not stick to the inside of the bottle? I for the first time in quickfire question history, I'm completely 1,000% stumped. I don't even have a quip. I don't know what to say about that. It's made by aliens. I have no idea.
Can I help you?
You do it.
Take the cap off the bottle and leave it around for a while. You'll see it stick to the inside of the bottle. Wilhelm from the Aragos server asked, if Blizzard started giving out gifts for your birthday, would you choose either a 25-year game card or a sneak peek at their next-gen MMO?
If by sneak peek he means get actual hands-on playtime,
yeah.
Tempting. I think I'd go that way. The 25-year game card is nice, but I'm not playing WoW for 25 years. No one is. If you think you are, you're crazy. Even Blizzard. Right. Even Blizzard thinks I am. They're crazy.
This but next one is from Darkstare, who asked, Garrosh Hellscream, Jim Raynor, and a Diablo 3 Barbarian run into each other in a dark alley. Who fights, who flees, and who soils his pants?
Rainer fights, the Diablo dude leaves, and I soil my pants. Of the three,
I'm most
likely.
We got a question from Novatrix,
yes.
Who said, check this out, similar thing. Terpster, Patrick, and you are in a bar. Terpster says to Patrick that he's a wussy because he loved 500 Days of Summer. Patrick doesn't take that and starts a fist fight with Terpster. What drink does Scott have while watching the epic battle?
Oh, orange slice, probably. I don't know.
Oh, really?
I don't know. I don't drink, so I can't think of anything good. It's like, well, yeah, it's some sort of soda pop. Some flavor of carbonated beverage, that's what I would have, while those all two right. fight it out like the French and the British are meant to in the first place.
Alston asked, hey, Scott, what's down yonder?
The Walmarts. Down there, I'm going down to the Walmarts down yonder tonight to pick up that there StarCraft 2 game. Very excited.
Mike B. asked, Scott, what the heck is your problem?
Oh, do you want me to start losing a show and jerks who call in and say, Scott, what's your problem? Those are my two big problems today.
Oh, okay.
Let's go.
Last question, Let's Scott. Fight. Last question comes from John C., who asked, you're making a goblin to play right now. What do you name it?
Oh, my gosh. That's hard. Gerplet. I don't
Gerplet.
Know. I don't know.
Gerplet the Goblin.
Gerplet the Goblin.
I love it. Oh, that's awesome. See, you nailed
it. I'll probably do that.
Gerplet the Goblin.
I better hurry up. In fact, I hope people don't steal that name. I'm going to do Gerplet the Goblin.
She's going to be really cute.
Time is money, friend. All right. Well, let's listen to these soothing tones, dude. Oh. All right. It's enough.
Wow. Thank you.
I do love that soundtrack, though. It's really good.
Yeah.
All right, it is time for... Ooh, okay, I got to time this right. Hold on. Oh, by the way, sorry. Quick fire questions. The instance, instant show on twitter.com is where you give them to me to ask Randy. Randy gets his from theinstance@gmail.com. Got it? Get it? Good. Cataclysmic.
Drop of the week.
See? I got it every time now. Nailing it.
I totally forgot you were going to do that.
Totally, dude. Oh, I have to do it.
I'm giddy. I've been awake for 24 hours straight, and I've gone past drunk, and I'm into giddy.
Oh, good. It's still only, what time is it there? It's still only like 7 o'clock in the morning, 7:30?
7:25 a.m. The instant's going.
It's crazy. Let's move on to our cataclysmic drop of the week. This is our 10th in our limited series. My gosh, 10 weeks of this? This is amazing. We highlight things for you to do in WoW that you might never get to do again before Cataclysm. And this week we're talking about, here be dragons, don't you know? Look out for the dragons. Gar. I don't know what voice that is. One thing that can't be avoided in Cataclysm that rips the very land apart is caused by a dragon. Is some impact on the world's dragons or the world dragons. This week we offer a suggestion to go visit and kill the world dragons. You might not get another chance. Having been on a few raids to do this, it is a lot of fun. I highly recommend it anyway. But the fact that we may be losing some of them, this is really important to go do. So let's talk about them. We're talking about the Dragons of Nightmare, plus Azurghos. I never say that right. Azurghos? Right. Anyway. Who are they again? Right. Let's remind people who don't know.
No problem. The Dragons of Nightmare are four Emerald Dragons. Named Lethon, Emerus, Isandra, and Terrar.
And Daryl.
And yeah. They spawn, right?
Yeah.
And this is my other brother, Daryl. And
I love that show. Sorry, go ahead.
They spawn in Duskwood, Hinterlands, Feralus, and Ashenvale. And if you've been around, especially if you got World Explorer, you can, even if you've never seen these dragons, you can imagine where they are. In Duskwood, it's in Twilight Grove in the middle. In Hinterlands, it's way up in the northeast in a zone, a subzone called Saradane. In Feralus, it's in this area in the middle called Dream Bow. And in Ashenvale, it's again way up in the northeast on the way to Ashara in an area called Bow Shadow. And they don't always spawn in the same spots. They all spawn at the same time, but sometimes you'll find Lethon and in one, you know, in Duskwood, sometimes you find Lethon in Hinterlands, that sort of thing. Those four are really tough bosses, and since they're boss level mobs, they scale to you at level 80. Now they still have crap hit points.
Yeah.
So you're going to brutalize them. Yeah. But you can't solo these dragons because they're boss level.
Oh, we've tried, and it was not easy at all. We thought, oh, look at these this weenie little hit points on these things, and that was a futile attempt at anything. So we had to end up doing a 25-man on the one we did. So what is it actually going to take in terms of party requirements? Is there a specific makeup of class and type that we would want to shoot for here?
You're going to want to have a balanced party. Yes, I think a party of five can do it now pretty safely. Azure Ghost is nowhere near what he used to be in terms of difficulty. He has 910,000 health. I'm talking about the blue Dragonflight dragon in Ashara. That's the fifth one we're suggesting you get to, especially since you're going to be really close by getting the dragon in Ashenvale. You know, for example, Lethon has ridiculously low, like 830,000 health.
Oh my gosh.
But he still does the Noxious Breath and the Tail Sweep if you get back behind that, and this Shadow Bolt thing, and he freezes everybody and draws their spirits that heals him for 5 seconds, and so you just can't solo the guy.
Yeah.
You're gonna wanna at the very, very least go with a tank who can keep them faced away from you, go with a couple of big hitter DPSs. And you got to have, I would always, in this kind of adventure, I take two healers because it's just, it's easier to me to know that if one of them gets frozen or it manages to get aggro and die or something, that you're going to be able to keep the party up.
And pro tip, don't get behind dragons, just generally.
You know, don't get behind them, don't get in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
Just stay away.
Yeah, pew them from the side. That's what I do. Is there a bigger sort of point to this particular suggestion beyond just killing giant mobs? What's the point?
Well, the neat thing about these five dragons is you're going to tour the world in a way. You're going to hit both continents. You're going to hit five different zones, and they're really nicely spread out. You know, on Eastern Kingdoms, for instance, going from Hinterlands to Duskwood is all the way across the entire continent. And this is a great time for you to get together with your friends, part of your raid team, your whole raid team, maybe bring together four raid teams. Who cares? Or 40-man the thing. Why not? You have the opportunity before Cataclysm to go see things the way they were for the last time. And I think that's the bigger part of the Cataclysmic Drop of the Week, is just getting out there, you know, just remembering what Duskwood looks like. Tool over into Darkshire, kill some mobs, you know, make the Dark Watch freak out.
Mm.
Have fun while you're out and see some things. Having a warlock travel ahead of you and summon you right into the belly of the dragon is the opposite of what this, you know, advice is about.
There's a purity about the experience that I really liked. I like the idea that I'm in this open world environment. I'm not in an instance. We've traveled somewhere far away, you know, as a group. We're gonna do this thing that is very fun in the lore and the feel of the game, and it's something you can just kind of do when you feel like doing it. And it's not a, you know, there's no real major progression happening. You're not gonna get loot that matters. It's just a really fun way to play this game.
Well, let's say one thing about that. This has become kind of cliche for us in our Cataclysmic Drop of the Week, but by all means, if you've got some people who are bringing up brand new Death Knights, have characters that are level 58, 59, 60, by all means, take them along. The loot tables for these world dragons are incredible.
Mm.
They really are.
Yeah.
You have this one great opportunity to grab somebody you know who's got level 60 on their paladin and bring them along and get them some great loot. We're talking gear that can't be improved on except via, you know, quest rewards and Outland at level 63.
Mm.
So there's nothing, you know, better than having that, you know, synergy.
Also some trippy little mechanics and stuff sometimes. So way fun. Go check it out. Again, it is something you can find out a whole lot about on Wowhead and other sources.
I have a request for you, Scott.
Request away. Ask away.
Hop back to Town Crier and read the email there. It's going to...
Oh, I'm a big dumbass. Yeah. I totally forgot about this. We got one email this week. We had so many calls, I totally spaced it. Wazdaka. Late email writes in this. I am lacking in DPS. Very, very lacking. I've heard the Naxx geared players can crank over 5K DPS. I'm wearing three pieces of gear from the T9 sets and two pieces from the T10 sets, yet I find it near impossible to top 3K DPS. I've looked on the Blizz forums, but there are so many different answers and the ideas about Destruction Warlock's rotation. As for using, as for using Google, I get a zillion results and a zillion different answers, many of them laced with profanity. Do you guys know of a specific site about effing talents and effing rotation that I can effing find a definitive guide for effing maximum effing DPS? this comes to us from the we actually got a tip to answer this. Who do we hear from on this?
Oh, well, I turned to my buddy Burning Wave, a really successful warlock that runs on my raid team, part of our guild. And he answered instantly when I asked him this question. You know, I said, so I'm a destruction warlock and I'm looking for a website. And he's just like, Warlock's Den.
Warlock's Den. Okay. WoWMB.net, Warlock's Den.
Went and looked at it. It looks great. This is exactly what you're asking for. Go to WoWMB.net. You will be glad you did, and we are glad to have a guy like Burning Wave with his nose to the grindstone.
Yep, and I mentioned yesterday, I'm trying not to repeat myself too much today, but the guild has basically raised this young lad from like 13 or 14 to the... to the deep-voiced young man that he is now.
That's funny. The guild has not done a thing to raise Burning Wave. If anything, we have done nothing but hold Burning Wave back.
Maybe.
From his life potential.
I just remember the early days when Burning Wave would be on vent going, hey, Scott, you want to run Zubba Zubba with me and we can go do the thing? And I'd say, yeah, let's go, little boy. Let's play the thing. And we'd go do our stuff. And now he's like, hey, I'm pushing 20K DP. You know, he's like Mr. Man now. So anyway, it takes a village.
If you catch a guildie joining when he's like 14 or younger and he sticks around to be like 16 or older,
yep,
he does change. There's no doubt.
A little bit.
Burning Wave is a remarkably mature, I don't know exactly how old. I think he's 16, something like that. Remarkably mature for his age.
Right. He's already got his AARP card, which I thought was really weird. let's move on to our iTunes shout out. That's where we get to thank you for 5-star reviews on iTunes. Randy, do the honors today. Who do we have leave us 5-star glowing reviews?
I'm running through this whole thing, so catch your breath. It's going to be a 5-star review and a shout out to Meat Shield.
Meat Shield.
To Big Black Canadian.
Big Black Canadian, Adian. Got it.
We got a 5-star review, and I think he's in our chat room, from Bell Biv DeVoe. Thank you very much.
Whoa, still performing and releasing albums and videos.
Yeah, really enjoyed your music back in the early 90s. And our final 5-star review comes from Margarine Slam, who said, quote, I want to do naughty things to this podcast.
Whoa. And that reminds me, we really need to go to Margarine Slam this year. I hear it's going to be epic.
No, it's so awesome.
Yeah.
You get up on stage and you just butter off. Yeah. I mean, it's great. That sounded so dirty.
It really did. But more importantly, The Rock is going to be keynoting Dwayne Johnson. And I'm really hoping he will say, can you smell what The Rock is cooking? Because literally he'll be cooking at Margarine Slam 2010. Be there. Tickets on sale now. Thank you, everybody who left us iTunes shout-outs and reviews. You can go to iTunes and leave us a review. We'd love that if you haven't yet done so. Many, many, many have, but there always is room for more, according to Apple. Before we head out of here, I want to thank our sponsors. Once again, typefrag.com, providing the best Ventrilo service on the internet. If you got any kind of guild whatsoever, there is a plan for you over there. Need a 25-man server? Use the code INSTANCE, and you'll get 50% off that first month. That brings it down to 5 buckaroonos. Also want to thank Doghouse Systems. I just got my new Prism Doghouse model. It is awesome. It is sitting right over there. I'm going to look at it. I've been playing on my Steam games, playing WoW on it, been going crazy with it. My wife thinks I'm a little obsessed right now with PC games, and I am. I'm having a ball on that thing. Love it, love it, love it. Big upgrade for me. Very happy. Check out the new Prisms, their new notebook line, all kinds of cool stuff happening at Doghouse. We've got some cool stuff coming from them soon. Pull a little Johnson there. So listen to the show. Upcoming stuff coming for sure. Very happy. And I'll be putting up a walkthrough video of the unboxing and how this machine was set up and everything, so people can see it with my ugly hand involved. So that'll be great. And also, finally, want to thank GoDaddy.com for providing codes to save you guys money. You're all buying domains anyway. You may as well save a couple of bucks. When you go to GoDaddy.com and you check out with a domain, use WOW1 as your code. That'll save you money on that domain, that renewal or whatever. There's also WOW2 and WOW3. There's other savings to be had. You can experiment and apply them to different purchases. Thanks to our friends at GoDaddy. Randy, we would like to recommend that you now tell people how they can participate in the Instance community in a way that's more meaningful and ultimately satisfying in their lives.
I will certainly do that. I want to say quickly that Blizzard did. We're not kidding that Blizzard actually gave us 4 dozen beta codes to give away for you to get in and test Cataclysm with us. We are going to be giving those away. I think it's taken us a while to get started because after we announced that we're going to be giving them away, Blizzard turned around and said, you know what, they don't work right now. For whatever reason, they have a bug they're trying to solve. They, as of right now, Monday morning, they have not solved it. And so I think what we're going to do is as soon as Blizzard says, okay, they're working, we might be giving away 4 a day for like 12 days, I think is more like what we're going to do.
Yeah, well, it'll be all through different kind of stuff. There may be blog posts, Twitter stuff. So make sure you're following us on Twitter. Follow Randy at Randy Deluxe. Follow me at Extra Life. Follow the show Twitter account, which is Instance Show. Those are definitely possibilities. The blog is a possibility. Future shows are a possibility. So
the forums, the Facebook page, there's a lot of ways. If Scott and I are going to give ourselves the task of each giving away 2 beta codes per day, we're going to be all over the place with them. So keep your eyes peeled. As soon as Blizzard gives us the go-ahead, we're running with it. Could be tomorrow. We could already be doing this.
Yep.
We'll keep an eye on Twitter and the blog and so forth, and you'll know what we're doing.
Could be today as far as we know, but we'll see. We'll wait and see.
That, and I know what you're saying. You're saying, but I didn't even know the Instance had a blog. Well, you know, welcome to the show.
Yes.
And that blog is at theinstance.net, Scott Johnson's blog, myextralife.com, Randy Deluxe's blog, randydeluxe.com. Don't forget experience points. We always want you to go read experience points at gameculture.com. That's one of Scott's comics. And if you want more podcasts, we know you want more podcasts. We know you hate making salad, but we know you want more podcasts. You want to go to frogpants.com. The Instance is a Frog Pants production.
Yes.
Don't forget, we always need to give a little love to our intern, Willie Gregory Dills.
Yep.
He's doing a great job for us.
Knocking it out of the park every day. Does stuff for Final Score as well. He's doing awesome. So big tip of the hat goes out to Willie Dills.
You know you want to email us. Do that by writing us at theinstance@gmail.com or call us. That number is 206-2023. Wow.
So you don't have to. It's like you're there. Sorry, I was trying to do our stupid thing that we do. That's all true what he said. Don't forget the Twitter accounts, twitter.com/extralife, twitter.com/randydeluxe, and twitter.com/instanceshow. That's going to do it for us, people. Thank you guys so much for bearing with us over this last 14 hours of hell. But I think we nailed it. So thank you guys for being here for yet another show. We are coming up very quickly on 200. Got some cool stuff coming, so stay tuned for that. Next week, we'll be at 198. Keep your eye on the frogpants.com show calendar. That's where we keep show times for upcoming episodes of this and all Frog Pants shows. Hopefully that helps a lot of you. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Randy, and for everyone who helps this show be possible every single week. See you next time.
Now I've got to go eat second breakfast, and I'm going to have my second piece of pie of the day and my second big cup of Coke.
That's terrible.
And let's see, what else could I repeat? I think.
Oh, I know what you can repeat. Myself. Yeah, I know what you can repeat in about 3 hours.
So now I'm going to go have second breakfast, and now I've got to go have my second piece of pie and a second Coke, and I'm going to actually go to sleep.
You should do that, but don't repeat yourself. We'll be right back. Today is 7 Sunday, July 11th, 2010. Well, here's the big news. Blizzard rolls a 1 in a move that surprised... it was a huge, giant, stinky, smelly turd.
The real question here is, what do you do to balance the rage the same week that LeBron James caused a bunch of rage?
It's a rough job, man. These guys, I don't know how they do it, but...
I think a 25-year play card makes a heck of a lot of difference in my attitude.
Vanderlip! Oh, by the way, we're Lich Killers. I forgot to mention that. What'd I say, Lich Killer?
Gert the Lich Killer. That's a better title.
We'll have a link in the show notes to that particular forum, Fred. And Fred. Giant sentient spiders is like spiders, but worse.
Scott, what is the best?
You are. You're simply the best. Better than all the rest. Anyway, where the hell are we? Oh, yeah, so where are we?
Totally apology accepted.
Yeah, Nita.
This podcast makes me miss prison hugs.
One Buxley per customer. Buxley here to answer your World of Warcraft questions in this edition of Ask Buxley. This question is about titles. Dear Buxley, I've noticed more and more of the same titles that people have been getting. Lore Master, Explorer, Chef, things like that. I'd like to get a title that's really unusual. Can you tell me what some of those are? Oh, there are many unusual titles you can get. Here are some of them. Yodeler. To get this, you have to sing a tune after each kill you do in a battleground 1,200 times in a row without someone killing you first. Groovy. This title is granted to anyone who sits on the edge of a bluff in Thousand Needles and enters a zen-like trance for more than 300 hours straight. Picky. This title is granted if you single-handedly gather all the herbs on one continent before anyone else has a chance to get any of them. Skunked. You get this title if you lose 100 consecutive wintergrass battles in a row. And Greeter. To get this, you're required to say hello to 500 guild members as soon as they are inducted into your guild, no matter what time of day that is. This also makes you eligible to work at Felmart. Thanks for your question. If you'd like to know what Buxley is up to every day, follow Ask Buxley at twitter.com/AskBuxley. If you'd like to listen to the archives, visit AskBuxley.com.
Buxley has got what you need!
A mage casts the wrong teleport spell. It's the overly dramatic news. This is Accuzod. An invasion on Stormwind was cancelled today when the mage assigned to provide transportation to the raid team accidentally cast self-teleport instead of group portal. Reports have confirmed the mage appeared by himself in the middle of Stormwind, where he was quickly overpowered and now appears to be locked in the stockade. Orc raid leader Grunt Bloodaxe described what happened.
Well, we were all geared and ready to go, and the mage began casting his spell. Then he just disappeared, leaving us standing there. We didn't know what to do, so we decided to hold a dance party instead. We'll go rescue him tomorrow. It's almost time for the disco competition, and I've been working on my moves.
For overly dramatic news, this is Accuzod.
Quick, they're coming. Get behind me.
Hello, this is Eldrick the Bear Tank here with The Guardian, your information location for tanking in the World of Warcraft. In this segment, we'll be looking at Vengeance, which all tanks will be getting as part of their masteries in Cataclysm. Vengeance is an ability that each time you take damage, you gain 5% of the damage taken as attack power, up to a maximum of 10% of your health. The purpose of this is to help close the gap a little between DPS and tank damage, so that DPS does not completely outscale tanks later in the expansion. It's a good move and will help tanks do a little more damage, especially while soloing or questing. Blizzard has stated that druid tanks may be affected differently, since we have so many DPS stats on our leather gear, since it is shared with DPS classes, we may not benefit from vengeance as much as the other tank classes do, but all the damage should roughly be equal between all the tanking classes. Well, that is it for this week. If you have questions or comments, you can email me at theguardiantank@gmail.com. Also, check out the Guardian Tank podcast, available on iTunes. Well, until next time, this is Eldrick the Bear Tank, and remember, no tank tanks alone.
That's right, folks. Once again, it's time for Achieve Success. I am Felscourge, the Achievement Junkie. Let's get this started. Today, we're going to talk about the Glory of the Hero achievements for Utgard Keep and Pinnacle. First up, on the rocks. You get this achievement by not destroying any of the frost tombs that Prince Kelisseth encases your party members in. You want to have someone who can heal besides your main healer so that they can keep your party members up while you finish DPSing the boss. Next one is quite tricky, the Incredible Hulk. There are abomination mobs in Utgard Pinnacle called Scourge Hulks. After the start of the encounter with Savalo's Sorrowgrave, the tank should pull aggro on one of the Scourge Hulks in the room. Then you'll want to take its health down as close to zero as you can without killing it. It's very important that you don't put dots on it or else you might accidentally take it out. Then, when Svala casts Ritual of the Sword, the one where the huge sword descends from the ceiling, the tank has to position the Scourge Hulk underneath that sword so that it gets impaled and killed. That will get you this achievement. The other achievements in Utgard Pinnacle are fairly mundane, just involving DPS races and survivability. If you do have low DPS, however, you will want someone who can cast interrupts to interrupt Bane on the last fight against King Imran. That's it for this week, folks. Keep on achieving.
Hey, Scott and Randy. A couple of weeks ago, you guys were talking about wanting to change the email address that's associated with your Battle.net account, and you said that you couldn't do it, and I don't know if somebody has already let you know, but you can. I did it a couple of weeks ago, and you can change your email to something that you can specifically relate to your WoW account and not use for anything else so that you know when spam's coming in and phishing and all that kind of stuff. So I just wanted to let you know you can do it through the Battle.net page. Just go to the home section, and in there there's a change email button. All right. Good work, guys. Keep it up. Bye.
F-U, signed, Greg goes. Oh, you didn't do the F-U part.
Is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.